Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hey, Dan, thanks so much for having me, man. It's truly an honor. My name is Mitch. I'm the founder of Revita Energy Tea. It's a healthy energy drink and a flexible beverage pouch from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this business?
Yeah, so when I was in my early 20s, Dan, my best friend, he was 21 years old at the time. I was with him and he loved energy drinks probably too much. He's drinking 4, 5, 6 a day. He had a day where he probably had 5 or 6 and I'll never forget it. He goes ghost white, nearly passes out. I rushed him to the hospital. Turns out he ended up having a heart attack that was attributed to too many energy drinks. He's okay now, but that was a light bulb moment. Is why is there not a healthy alternative? All natural ingredients, non-carbonated, you know, in a brand that I could resonate with. Couldn't find it anywhere on the market, so decided to create it myself.
Awesome. So as of today, like, who would you say is your ideal customer?
So our customer base is very wide, but when we really dial it into our ideal customer, we're typically, you know, the 25 to 45 year old professional that is drinking coffee, is looking for a boost, wants to be more productive, you know, working long days, or maybe they have young kids at home and they don't resonate with the big energy drink brands. They don't want 40 grams of sugar. They don't want all the chemicals that come with that, but they need something to keep them going. That's our core customer that we're going after. But, you know, we're also converting, you know, hardcore energy drink users, and we ship from everyone from junior hockey players to old folks' homes too. So it's certainly a wide demographic that appeals to our product.
Awesome. So in terms of your business, like, what would you say like is a breakdown of e-commerce versus retail customers?
So right now, e-commerce makes up about 20% of our business. We're primarily retail focused, but that's really going to change for us in 2024 here, Dan. We're really focusing on our Amazon business. We just got on Amazon Prime in the US as well as Canada. Really working on our D2C business. So that's going to be a big focus. We'd like that to be about 35-40% of our total revenue as opposed to 20% like it is currently.
So when it comes to retail, is like, are you only selling in Canada right now, or can I find the product in US stores?
Right now, we're just in Canada. We're working on getting into the US. So I think as of this summer, we'll start scaling into the US, Texas and the Pacific Northwest being the two regions we're going to go after initially. But in Canada, we're in all the major grocery stores. So we're in about 1,200 stores nationally in Canada.
So what kind of reception have you gotten from people? Like, have you done like in-store sampling? It's like, how do you, because I guess like, you know, starting a brand is challenging, right? So it's like, how have you really gotten like the word out and the traction about what you're doing?
Yeah, great question. So when we started 4 years ago, it was what you just said, Dan. We, you know, I was standing in a grocery store. This was just before COVID, where I could stand there and hand out samples sometimes for 4, 5, 6 hours a day. Then COVID rolled around in, you know, March of 2020. And so there was no more sampling effectively for the next couple of years. So that's where we really shifted our focus to social media, but also supplying product for, you know, we ship a lot of product to hospitals. We do a lot of product sponsorships. So we've been getting our, you know, the word out about our product primarily through word of mouth, just creating great customer experience for people, getting them to tell their friends. But now, especially coming into this year, we're really focusing on our digital presence and spreading the word that way.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, word of mouth, I feel like when it comes to any brand, can definitely be very valuable, but it's very challenging to leverage that. So I guess I'm just curious, right? Can you kind of like dive deeper into how you were able to, you know, get in front of people via word of mouth? I mean, like you mentioned hospitals, or just like, what did that look like, especially during COVID?
Yeah, great question. So initially, you know, I quit my job in January 2020. So we just started the business then. COVID rolls around. Things are really tough, right? We're half of the stores that we were in at the time closed down. So we sat down and we brainstormed, you know, how can we can't sample in grocery stores anymore. So how can we grow? And what we came up with is we're going to just focus on one customer at a time. So we'd get an online order at our store. Maybe it came from Instagram. They heard about us somewhere. I would hand deliver that order, Dan, because typically it was in Calgary here where I'm from. I would, you know, ring the doorbell and hand the order to the customer, create a great experience, you know, give them extras, go above and beyond to make sure that they were so satisfied with the product and the experience that they almost felt obligated to tell somebody about us. And then that next person that they told about us an order from, we would just recreate that same experience. Of course, that's not scalable in the long term, but in the short term, we created a great community around our product. And then we started doing things like, organizing group hikes when it was safe to do so through the pandemic. So we go to the mountains here in Banff. If you're not familiar with Calgary, we're very close to the Banff-Camore area. Beautiful hiking trails. We would organize these group hikes where people would come out. We create this great experience. We get all the social media hype. And then we just built off of that momentum, Dan. So it was really grassroots, focusing on one customer at a time. And after the course of, 4 years of doing that, even though it's slow growth, it's built the brand into something now that has a lot of legs.
For sure. So, what would you say is the biggest challenge that you face in the business right now?
The biggest challenge is it costs a lot more to scale a consumer packaged goods brand than I ever anticipated. So we've had to raise a lot more money than I anticipated. We had to build our own manufacturing line here in Calgary, which was over $1 million expenditure because our packaging is so unique. We can't just go to, Joe manufacturer down the street. So just the amount of capital it's taken to grow the business and raising money in this environment, which is very challenging right now, given the economy, that's been one of the biggest challenges that we've had to face this last year.
For sure. So, in terms of raising money, obviously you mentioned your manufacturing, but have you also raised money to run ads on social media? Or, like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, 100%. So manufacturing is a big piece of what we needed to raise money for initially, but going forward, we're raising money for growth capital. So that money is going to be put towards social media ads, Amazon advertising, mass, more traditional advertising channels, and just working capital to grow the brand so that we can staff up so that I'm not, packing boxes in a hairnet all day on the production line. I can focus on marketing. So yes, the money that we're raising currently is going to be used as growth capital to really grow and expand and market the business.
For sure. So what would you say? I mean, obviously, like, now we're in 2024. So what are some of your goals, like, for 2024 to be successful from, like, a revenue perspective? What would that look like from 2023? Even if you can share, like, a certain percentage increase from where you were before to where you're planning on getting to this year.
Yeah, great question, Dan. So this year we're targeting 100% year-over-year growth, which is a big challenge. It's going to be an uphill battle, but we're all set up to do that. Our manufacturing is taken care of. We've really perfected our product now. And so now it's time to, like we just talked about, put money into advertising, put money into our e-commerce, our Amazon business, our D2C business, and grow the business 100% year-over-year. So we have a plan of how we're going to do that, how we're going to boost our retail sales, but also how we're going to significantly grow our e-commerce business.
For sure. So, what would you say is, like, the biggest obstacle that's in the way from where you're at now to, I mean, like, essentially doubling year over year?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges, Dan, is, being the founder and CEO of the company is I'm going to be the bottleneck to our growth a lot of times. So I'm not a D2C, I'm not an e-commerce expert. So there's a lot that I need to learn. So I think my growth individually as a leader, but also my understanding of marketing needs to be enhanced significantly this year. I'm going to be reading a lot of books, attending a lot of courses, really working on my marketing skills. I think if we can combine that with growing as a team and executing on goals, last year we were very reactional instead of proactive. This year we're going to be more proactive. We're going to have monthly marketings. We're going to have weekly goals that we're going to be hitting and keeping everybody accountable. So those are some of the strategies that we're going to employ this year to ensure that we achieve those goals.
For sure. So I guess I'm curious, right? Like, you're obviously, like, in a very competitive space. Like, you have brands like Celsius, which aren't really teas, but they are your competition in a sense. And they kind of claim to be a more, like, healthy alternative, right? So, like, how do you go and compete against these huge players like a Celsius or companies like that?
Great question, Dan. And that's the $1 million question really is how do we compete with these massive companies that have huge marketing budgets? And I really admire Celsius. I really admire a lot of our competitors, but we're also a very different product. So I think a lot of the way that we can compete is to not directly compete with them, go after niches, right? Like one of the niches that we go after is, nurses that work on night shifts, right? A lot of them don't want to drink energy drinks, or if they are drinking energy drinks, they know it's not good for them. So even a Celsius has our great product, great brand, I admire them, but they have artificial sweeteners in there. That's not for everybody, right? So we're trying to go after the customer base that doesn't want artificial sweeteners, that wants a brand that's branded more, it's more of a wholesome brand. It's cleaner packaging. It's resealable. That's a big thing. You know, a lot of consumers don't want to open a can and drink it all in one sitting. They want to be able to dose their caffeine source, right? Or their caffeine, right? We have 140 milligrams of caffeine in a pouch. Maybe someone only wants 40 or 50 milligrams of caffeine in one sitting. Well, with a can, you don't have that option. But with our pouch, can drink a third of it, reseal it, put it back in the fridge. You're good to go for the next day. So, long-winded answer to your question, but we're really trying to go after consumers that don't even typically drink the typical energy drinks, and they want a product that's completely different. So we're competing without having to actually compete against them in some of those spaces.
Right. So you're saying it's more of like a healthier alternative. And it's like somebody who might have a coffee or regular tea, they can use your tea and it's like it's easy, right? It's on the go. You have the pouch, you're a nurse, or you're doing like some other job where you don't need to sit there. Oh, now I have to go make it and pour the cup and it's like a pain. I can just take the pouch and go with me anywhere and drink this tea.
You nailed it, Dan. Whereas when you open a can, right, which is 100% of energy drinks on the market pretty well, or in a can, you don't have that option. So that's some of the marketing that we're doing and some of the ways that we're appealing to consumers where some of these other brands aren't playing in that space.
For sure. So, what would you say is like the role of something like technology when it comes to your business?
Oh, it's massive, Dan. And I think we're underutilizing technology, especially on the ad side. Advertising is something that we're very new to. You know, we're working now on our Google ads and our Amazon ads and our Facebook ads. These are things that we haven't dabbled much in previous years. So I think utilizing that technology and the software that comes with that, but also optimizing a lot of our operations here. You know, we're using Excel sheets for our inventory. There's probably software packages that would be much better for that. So coming into the next few years, Dan, upgrading our technology and getting a better grasp of what technology is out there is going to be a huge piece of our business.
But have you leveraged any AI in the business? And like, if not, like, where do you think the AI could come in and help you guys out?
Yeah, we've used a little bit of ChatGPT with our copywriting and some of the operations of our business. I guess we've automated now with ChatGPT, but we haven't used a ton of it. So I think there's a lot of automation that we can do with AI. But I'm also very cognizant of I want to continue to create careers. I don't want to necessarily replace our ability to create great jobs for people in our local city by AI. So I think it's a balance between using AI responsibly, but also utilizing it to optimize your business and grow and create a company that can provide more opportunities and more careers.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think AI definitely has value, but you still need people to be sitting and monitoring it because if you're not prompting ChatGPT correctly, you're not going to get good answers. You can just tell if it was all done by ChatGPT. So you still need like a human element no matter
You
what you're
do.
doing.
100%. Yeah, you could tell when someone, you know, even a cover letter when we're hiring, right? I could tell if ChatGPT wrote it or a person wrote it. It's getting pretty obvious, especially these, you know, the more and more we get familiar with the tool.
For sure. So, what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
If I could go back and talk to myself even 5 or 6 years ago, I would tell him creating a great company takes patience. I think like a lot of younger entrepreneurs, I was really rambunctious. You know, I thought I was going to be driving a Lamborghini in year 2 or 3. Building a great brand doesn't work like that, right? It's not like some of those Facebook ads where you see the 17-year-old in a rented Lamborghini. Building a great brand takes time. There's no course for $997 that's going to solve all your problems. You have to put in the work. It takes years, if not decades, to build a brand, especially in consumer goods. That's really valuable. It really helps a lot of people and generates millions of dollars, you know, in revenue. So I would tell myself to be patient. It's going to take time. It's going to be challenging, but just keep at it every single day. And over the course of a decade, it could be incredible what you can accomplish.
For sure. So, if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
So, you know, January 1st of 2025, I would expect us to be twice as big as we are right now, to have our advertising strategy really dialed in and starting to convert customers that way. We've really grown the brand digitally. Instead of our revenue being made up of 20% online sales, I'd like that to be 35, 40%. I see us getting there this year. And then I also see us scaling into retail in the US. So finally, not just being a Canadian brand, but you know, scaling into the US market, which is where I think we actually have the greatest fit.
For sure. Yeah, 100%. I know for a fact that your brand will do great here in the States. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess like best ways to get in contact with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is just revita.com. So it's spelled RVIITA.com. Our Instagram is revitalize, so also spelled like this, just a play on the word revitalize. Same with our LinkedIn is where I'm most active. So that's just Mitch Jacobson on LinkedIn. Jacobson is spelled with an EN. So those would be the best ways to contact us.
Awesome. Well, Mitch, thank you so much for your time today. We're rooting for you to have a very successful 2024.
Really appreciate your time, Dan. It's an honor to be on the pod. Thank you for having me.
Likewise. Thank you. All right. Bye.
Thanks, man. Appreciate your time.